Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray to that Father in heaven and ask for his help in understanding his word. Father in heaven, we've been told to ask for the Holy Spirit's help. And so we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to give us understanding of your word, to soften our hearts and to shape us so that we are made more like the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we want to be like the disciples who prayed, "Lord, would you please teach us how to pray for your own name's sake?" Amen. Amen. Here's a question for you. How should we approach God in prayer? How should we approach God in prayer? What kind of attitude should we have as we come to our Heavenly Father? What's the right way to go about praying? How should we ask? I have a friend. He's called Max. Max was a friend of mine as we grew up in the church that I was in South London. He was from Ghana, but he moved to London a long, long time ago. And he is just one of the most sincere and lovely guys you could ever meet. Really nice guy. And one year, Max decided that he wanted to give a birthday card to the Queen. And so that's what he did. He went to the shop, he bought a card, he wrote a letter to the card, he wrote a note in the card. I don't think he kind of clocked there would be a load of security around Buckingham Palace. So he got his card in hand, up to the central London, strode up to the gates of Buckingham Palace, boldly approaching the gates. And as he boldly approached, he said, "I've got a card for the Queen. I'd like to give the Queen a birthday card." Now, as we come to the end of our time in this part of Luke's Gospel, we've been learning from Jesus how we should pray. And this is the last class, if you like, in the school. How should we ask? With what attitude should we approach our God in prayer? And I want to encourage us to be like my friend. Did I tell you his name? Max. Here's something really cheesy, okay? Are you ready for something really, really cheesy? But I want to encourage us to be bold to the max. Just like my friend Max, I want to encourage us to be bold to the max. Now, it's been 3 weeks or so since we were last in this series. But last time, we looked at verses 3 and 4. So if you look down, you can see we've actually got to the end of the Lord's Prayer. But then Jesus goes on to illustrate how we should pray. And there's this story that encourages us to be a bold beggar. To be a bold beggar. And by the way, this first point is by far the longest point, because what I want us to do is really dig down on what it looks like to be bold beggars this morning. Now, by nature, I'm not a very bold person. I'm actually quite shy, naturally. But one time, there was a time where my boldness paid off. So it was we were on holiday, Riss and I were on holiday, and this was before we had Zach. So we had the liberty and the freedom to go to the cinema in the middle of the day. It was an amazing thing. And as we arrived at this cinema, there was no one else around, really. It was in the middle of the day. It was in November, I think, so it wasn't even peak holiday time. And so there was no one around. And I decided to be a little bit cheeky. So we got the tickets, and then I was looking up at the menu for the popcorn and the drinks and all of that kind of thing. And you know how in cinemas it's just ridiculously overpriced? And so I decided to ask a cheeky favour. I said to the lady behind the till, "Can you do me a better deal than that? Can you give me anything for free?" And by this point, Riz was standing next to me going bright red. You have that look? Does anyone else have this look where she just goes, "What are you doing? Do you have no shame at all?" And actually, I did look pretty silly because the lady behind the till said, "No, sorry, there's nothing I can do for you." But then, actually, she called me back and she said, "I do have a limited number each day of free gifts that I can give away at my discretion." So she said, "I can offer you a free bowl of nachos and dip. Free nachos and dip, just for asking." So there's two lessons to that story, two morals. The first is, if you're at the cinema, always ask for free stuff because you might get something. But the second thing is that asking gets answers. If you don't ask, then you don't get. But if you want to receive, then you need to ask. If you're unashamed, if you're bold to the max, then things happen. And that's the point of the story that Jesus tells in verse 5. Let's read it again. It's quite a funny story, really. It's almost comical in the way that Jesus tells it. Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, your boldness, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." So it's a made-up scene. Jesus says, "Suppose this happened." Jesus says, "Imagine that you had the guts to be bold to the max. Imagine you have a friend." I know some of us are good at doing that already. But imagine, imagine you have a friend and you've got this friend and you're ringing his doorbell on his doorbell in the middle of the night demanding for some basic groceries. What's the result? What's the end of the story? Jump to the end of the story, the end of verse 8. What's the result of that kind of bold asking? He gets what he needs. He asks and he receives. Asking gets answers. As it says earlier on in verse 8, it's because of your shameless audacity that you get what you asked for. Shameless audacity. That's an interesting phrase. The word in the original isn't very easy to translate. It's the only time it occurs in the New Testament. But it has the sense of being bold to the max. The guy in Jesus' story is bold beyond belief. Here's someone who asks even when it seems completely inappropriate. He's bold to the max. He knows that he has a need. He says, look, what does he say in verse 6? "I have no food to offer my friend." And that need puts him in a position of a beggar, someone who can't do anything about it and needs some help. And he's not ashamed to ask. Even though he's asking at a really weird time. Verse 5 says, "Suppose you go to him at midnight." If you ring my doorbell at midnight, you'll find me fast asleep. Even if you do manage to wake me up, I'm not in the mood to do errands for you. In fact, okay, I think we should do an experiment, okay? This tonight, what I want us all to do is to go home and then in the middle of the night, go around to your neighbours, ring on their doorbell and ask for a cup of sugar. And then next week we'll report back and see what people say. We're not going to do that because we know that waking people up in the middle of the night, that's not the time to be bothering someone. And yet it doesn't stop this guy. He's bold to the max. Jesus says, imagine being so bold and knowing your needs so much that the time of day doesn't stop you. The guy in the story is bold to the max. Even when his asking is no small thing. Look at verse 5 again. What does he ask for? He asked for 3 loaves of bread. That's a lot of bread for one friend. I don't know about you, but I'm normally lucky to have 3 slices of bread in the house, let alone 3 loaves. He's asking his friend to do him a costly favour. This is no small thing. After all, if his friend gives him his bread, then where's his breakfast? It's a costly thing. It's not just asking, you know, for someone to open the door for him or asking someone for the time. He's asking for someone for something that's really inconvenient and could be seen as quite costly. He says, get up and give me what I need. And for most of us, I think we'd be too ashamed. I'd be too ashamed to do that. We'd think, oh no, that's too much to ask. I couldn't expect that of them. But it doesn't stop our bold beggar. He's not ashamed to say exactly what he needs. He lays his request before his friend and says, I'm in need. Please would you help me? He's bold to the max. Even when he's asking because of his own failure. Look at the end of verse 6. He says, I have no food to offer him. Now, in that culture, and I guess probably in lots of the cultures that are represented here this morning as well, hospitality is a big deal. You'd be often expected to have people in your house and put food before them and offer them, you know, a bed for the night and all of that kind of thing. But this man had been caught out. Perhaps to his shame, he was not ready to receive visitors. He says, I haven't got anything. It was his own shortcomings that meant he needed to go and beg off his friend. But even that shame doesn't stop him asking. Nothing stops him asking. It's almost inappropriate how bold this guy is. He's being borderline socially unacceptable to be out in the street in the middle of the night trying to get some picnic bits for his friend. And yet that's what he does. He is not shy. Just like me at the cinema with the nachos. Just like my friend Max striding up to the gates of Buckingham Palace. Shame and embarrassment doesn't stop him asking. And Jesus says, imagine being bold to the max like that. Imagine that you feel your need so deeply that you boldly beg no matter what it looks like to other people. Jesus says, asking gets answers. I got my 3 nachos. Bold beggars receive. And look how the story ends again in verse 8. Even though he will not get up because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Asking gets answers. It's a very simple point. But Jesus never tells a story simply for entertainment. There's always a purpose behind what he's saying. And the application of this story is very, very simple. Verse 9. So, this is the application. This is the point of the story. So, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. If you don't ask, you don't get. But asking gets answers. It seems like a really obvious thing to say, but our time in the school of asking is supposed to actually leave us asking. That's the purpose of why we're learning to pray. We're not just learning about prayer so that we can know more information about it. We're not just learning how to ask so we can tell other people when they ask us about how we pray. We're not just learning the Lord's Prayer together so we can do all the actions and get it in our heads. That's not the end goal. We're not learning how to pray so that when someone prays in church, we can sit there and think, was that biblical? Was that the most biblical prayer it could have been? That's not the point. The point of Jesus teaching us to pray is so that we will actually pray. Jesus says, asking gets answers, so ask. Be bold to the max. Be a bold beggar. And I think we need that reminder, because often, if you're anything like me, we're too shy to ask. Perhaps we're shy to ask because we don't feel like we've got many needs. Perhaps you do have lots of food in the house, and actually things are going all right. You don't feel like a desperate beggar. We forget to pray sometimes because we feel that life is okay at the minute. And we forget that actually we depend on our God for every breath that we breathe. Or perhaps we're shy to ask because it feels like the wrong time of day. Maybe in your mind, prayer is something that you do in the morning or something that you do in the evening. But for the rest of the day, it's not really on your radar. Jesus says, don't let the time of day stop you from asking. It doesn't matter when we ask. Isn't that a good thing? It's amazing. You know, in some religions and some ways of going approaching God, they say you have to do it in this way, that way, or the other. You have to use these words, and you have to be in this position, and you have to be in this state of mind. But Jesus says it doesn't matter when you ask. Like the man in the story, it might be in the middle of the night. It might be as you wake up and you can't sleep. You can pray. It might be when you're in the back of an ambulance because something's gone wrong and you can't breathe properly. It might be as you're having a shower, as you're on the toilet, as you're walking your kids to school, as you're in between tasks at work, while you're sat waiting for an appointment, or you're waiting for the kettle to boil. Whenever and wherever is an okay time to ask. No matter how you're feeling, no matter what your day's been like, any time is a good time to come to God and ask. Well, perhaps for some of us this morning, perhaps we're going through a time where spiritually it feels like nighttime. Perhaps you've convinced yourself that actually right now, God doesn't want to be disturbed by me. It'll be like knocking on my neighbor's door in the middle of the night. He just doesn't want to know. Maybe you feel ashamed because you haven't really talked to him in the last little while. And Jesus says, don't let the time of day stop you from asking. Be bold to the max. Or maybe for others of us, we're shy to ask because what we're asking feels like no small thing. It seems like too much to demand. Three loaves of bread might be a lot to borrow from a neighbour in the middle of the night, but it's nothing compared with the things that are going on in your life right now, the stuff that is in your heart, which you'd love to bring before your Father in prayer. Do you ever feel that it's easy to pray for the smaller things that are happening around in your life, but sometimes there's stuff that's so big in your life that you think, I can't bring this to God in prayer. It's just too big. Jesus says, don't let the size of the request stop you from asking. Be bold to the max. Or maybe you're shy to ask because, after all, it's your own failure. Maybe there are consequences to bad decisions that you've made. Maybe you feel the effects of your own sin and you think, I can't talk to God about that. That's my own fault anyway. I've just got to deal with that now. That's my thing. Maybe you feel ashamed to ask for forgiveness because there's a repeated sin that keeps rearing its head and you just think, I can't talk to God about that. Do you ever have that experience where perhaps after a particular episode of sin where you know that you've done wrong and you know you want to ask for forgiveness, but it kind of feels like it's too soon to ask? Do you ever get that? And you feel uncomfortable, you think, it just feels wrong as you pray for forgiveness. You're kind of saying, I can't ask that. I need to feel bad for a bit longer. I need to punish myself and then I can ask for forgiveness. Jesus says, don't let your own failure stop you from asking. Be bold to the max. You see, why is it that we can be bold in asking? What is the reason that we can boldly beg, even when it feels like the wrong time, even when it feels like a completely inappropriate thing to do? Why is it that we can boldly come to God, our Father in heaven? It's because of who we come through. There's a lovely verse in Hebrews that we're going to get to in a second. You see, Jesus is the one who teaches us to pray, but he is also the reason why we can be bold. He is the one through whom we can come boldly in prayer. Jesus, Hebrews describes, is the great high priest, the one who is tempted in every way as we are, tempted in every way as we are, and yet was without sin. Jesus is the one who offered the greatest sacrifice. He offered himself and paying the price on the cross as he died for all of my failings, all of the times where I have done things my way and not God's way, all of the times that I've failed to live up to his standards and I've fallen short. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for that sin. He rose again after 3 days, and he now lives ascended, sitting at the Father's right hand. And so what does Hebrews say? Hebrews says this: let us therefore, because of all of that, because of who Jesus is, because of who we come through, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. The reason we can come boldly in prayer is because of who we come through. In and of ourselves, we have no right to come to God. But in Jesus, we can be bold to the max. We come on his merit, not our own. Asking gets answers. But we do need to be careful here, okay? We could easily understand these verses in a way which the Bible isn't intending at all. So verse 9, look at verse 9 again. It says this: so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. That doesn't mean that whatever you ask, you will get. It doesn't mean that if I go away now and pray, please can I have a 3-week Caribbean cruise, that tomorrow morning my phone's going to ring and someone's going to offer me a place on the boat for free. That's not what it's saying here. God isn't a genie in a bottle who just grants our every wish. And this is really important to remember, because some people would take this part of the Bible and make it mean something that it's not supposed to mean. So you'll hear people saying things like this. You'll hear people saying things like, if you want to have loads of money, you just need to name it and claim it. If you want to have good health and good relationships, then just ask in Jesus' name, and whatever you ask will be given to you. Look, it's there in the Bible. He promises. God will give it to you because he doesn't want you to be unhappy after all. If you want that promotion, if you want to have kids, just ask in faith, and if your faith is strong enough, it will be yours. But that is not what Jesus is saying here. He is not saying anything like that. When Jesus says, ask and you will receive, what he's saying, ask in the way that I've just taught you to ask. He's just spent several weeks teaching us from the Lord's Prayer how to ask, what should be our priorities in asking. It's not a mistake that the story we just read is about bread. Okay, that links back to what Jesus says in verse 3. That's one of the things we're to ask for, our daily bread. And he tells a story about bread to illustrate the kind of asking that fits in with what he's just already taught us. Does that make sense? So when Jesus says ask, he says ask in the way that I've taught you to ask. So we learned, didn't we, at the beginning, that what we ask first should be for God's name to be honoured and for him to be obeyed as king. That was verse 2. Then in verse 3 and 4, Jesus taught us to depend daily on our Father for provision, for forgiveness and for protection. That's what Jesus commands us to ask. And so when we get to verse 9, that's what he's still talking about. Jesus says, ask for those things and it will be given to you. When we ask how Jesus asks, we can ask boldly. When we ask how Jesus asks, it's given. When we seek how Jesus seeks, we find. When we knock, the door is opened. Boldly ask, because asking gets answered. Prayer actually does things. God, in his infinite wisdom, works out his purposes by answering the prayers of his people. Isn't that cool? Let me say that again. God, in his infinite wisdom, works out his purposes by answering the prayers of his people. Prayer actually does stuff. And yes, sometimes there are times where we keep asking and it doesn't seem to make any difference. And sometimes that makes us question, well, why? What's the point in asking? Can God really do anything about it? But the truth is that God, in his infinite wisdom, works out his purposes through the prayers of his people. Asking gets answers. When we pray in the way that Jesus teaches us to pray, we will see answers to prayer. Do you know what? That really excited me this morning. Even as I prayed for our meeting here together, we were thinking, actually, if I ask boldly, and if I ask in the way that Jesus asked me to ask, then God will be working. So this morning, God is at work building his kingdom. As I think ahead to next week, and we're teaching these kids this wonderful story of Noah and how it points to Jesus at Connect. As we pray rightly about that, we know that God will be answering prayers. Sometimes we'll see that. Sometimes we won't see that. But God will be at work because he always answers the prayers of his people as they ask how Jesus teaches us to ask. So we can ask boldly. And the reason that we ask boldly is not only because of who we come through, but also who we come to. So this is the second thing, and it's much more brief. Much more brief. But we are bold beggars of a generous giver. Who's the most generous person that you know? Can you think of someone? Someone probably pops into your mind. When I think of generosity, I think of my grandma. My grandma was called Olive, which I think is the reason why I don't really like to eat olives now. It just doesn't quite work in my mind. But that's not relevant to the story. The point is that my grandma Olive was a lovely lady. She was so generous. She was the type of person where when we went round for a meal, she'd always cook a roast dinner and she'd do like seven different types of veg. She'd just go completely overboard. And we'd always look forward to her presents when it came to Christmas or birthdays because she was always really generous. When someone's generous, that gives you boldness to ask. You know that they're not going to turn you down if someone's generous. Perhaps you have family members who you know who will always help you out if you need help. Someone who is generous so you can boldly ask them for what you need. If someone is generous, it gives you confidence to ask. And the reason that we can be bold in begging is not only because of who we come through, but also because of who we come to. We come to a generous giver. And we've already looked at verses 11 to 13. When we were learning about asking God as our Father. But I think there's new light shed on these verses in the context of the story that Jesus just told. Let's read them again. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? These are verses which speak about the character of the God that we come to in prayer. He is a loving father who loves to give good gifts to his begging children. My friend Max, remember him? He boldly strode up to the gates of Buckingham Palace. He had a birthday card in hand. I've got a birthday card for the Queen. Please let me in. Unfortunately, you can't just stride up to the Queen. And so he was turned away at the gates. Of course he was. But our God is not like that. He does not turn away any of his begging children. The reason that we can boldly beg is because God is a generous giver. Even a disgruntled friend in the middle of the night will give you three loaves of bread if you knock for long enough and knock for hard enough. But our God is so much better than that. In contrast to the man in the story, our generous giver is not begrudging. Our generous giver isn't having his arm twisted when we come to him. Our generous giver isn't making a note of the number of times that you've asked for something this week. And then, sorry, you've used up your quota. Come back next week. He is a God who never sleeps, so no time is inconvenient. He's a God with unlimited resources, so no request is too large. He's a God who freely gives, so our performance mustn't stop us. He wants us to ask. He wants to answer. He wants to give. If we see how generous our God is, it will give us boldness to ask him. This is a God who supplies our every need. This is a God who promises to answer as we come in Jesus' name and pray how Jesus prays. Again, don't hear me wrong. This isn't just a kind of clean state or a blank check. Just write what you want on there. It's only as we come through Jesus, praying as Jesus prays with his priorities, that this promise is true. But he is a generous giver. And because he's a generous giver, he invites us to boldly ask. And if you ever need proof of his generosity, where do you look? You look to the cross of Jesus. Here is a God who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. This is a God who loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us. He died in my place for the punishment that I deserve for all my failures. This Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many. Could there be a greater generosity than that? He's even more generous than my grandma Olive. And if you're not yet a Christian this morning, if you don't know God as a generous giver, if this is kind of foreign to you, that you can come to this generous giver boldly in prayer, this is how you can know him. How do you get to know this God? As you come to prayer to him for the first time, as you pray, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sin through what you did on the cross and through the empty grave. Thank you that you died and rose again in my place so that I could be welcomed into the family. God is a generous giver who makes it possible for us to pray. And so as we exit the School of Asking, and this is our last week in the School of Asking, and we didn't come, I hope you didn't come to get a certificate. I don't have certificates for you. I'm sorry. We came to learn how to pray. And so as we go and put this into practice, I want to urge us to be bold beggars. You know, you might not know exactly how to pray. I often feel that way. You don't know what words to use or even what to say. But that's okay. I hope, if nothing else, this morning encourages us to get out there and be bold in the way that we pray. The Lord's Prayer isn't supposed to overwhelm us. It's supposed to empower us. We're not supposed to think, oh, if I don't include all of these bits in my prayer time each morning, then I'm somehow failing. The point is, Jesus says, pray like this and then go out and pray. Perhaps as we've spent time talking about prayer in the last few weeks, for some of us, it's made us feel quite guilty. Do you ever get that? Certainly for me, at points, it's been really humbling to think about prayer and my own prayer life. Prayer is often a struggle. Prayer is something that we know we can do better at. But the reason Jesus teaches us to pray is not to leave us feeling bad, but so that we will actually pray. He wants us to get out there and ask, bold in the knowledge that God is a God who listens and answers prayer. We can be bold because of who we come through and bold because of who we come to. Our God is a loving Father. He's waiting at the door to hear us knock. He's a good and generous giver with an abundant store of good gifts to give to his begging children. So be a bold beggar. And let me encourage you to be like my friend. Be bold to the max. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come to you as a generous giver. We praise you that you are working your purposes out in the world. We're sorry for the times where we use prayer as if we could work out our purposes in the world through you. Lord, please would you change our hearts and our minds so that we pray with your priorities. Help us to pray how Jesus prays. Help us to ask in a way which honours your name and in line with your purposes. And as we ask in those ways, please would you give us a boldness in asking. Thank you that we can come through the Lord Jesus, bold because the great high priest has paid the ultimate sacrifice, and therefore we have access to you, the king, as children to a father, not as enemies to a king. And we praise you that as we come to you, we can be bold because you are a generous God. So please would you help us to pray. Help us to put these things into practice, not so that our own names might be honoured, but so that your name might be honoured. And that you might be obeyed as king. And so we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.